Jazz hands.
Jazz hands. And we are live. Oh, I stole your thunder there today, Matt. Sorry about that. Hi, everybody. I'm Dan Adelko. Welcome to episode 148 of Live at the Hive, Digital Marketing from the Trenches.
I'm Matt Stefanich, producer Matt.
I'm Stacey DeSantis, content marketing manager here at the Hive.
Yeah, you are.
Raise it up.
All right. Welcome, everybody. We'll just give it a couple minutes for all the masses to flood into the room. Let me just see here. We're live. Get that on there. Make sure I can get my watch party. Hi, April. Hi, Yvonne. There we go. So today we are going to be talking about making your business stand out during uncertain times. And we're going to start with, unfortunately, a little bit of gloom, a little bit of doom. And don't worry, we will pivot on that very quickly.
Right on. Love it. Right cool. On. So I think we have a couple articles for what's new this week. But we have a lot of examples and some good stuff for what's working today. So, yeah, let's dive right into what's new. And I think we're going to be leading off with TikTok.
Dun, dun, dun. So before everybody that's a TikTok user flips out and loses their minds, my theory on this is that this is a whole lot of political grandstanding that will go right up to the 11th hour. And some kind of a deal will be sorted out and all will be good with the world. Yeah. That's just my guess. I don't know what you guys think about that.
I'm thinking Canadian aluminum.
Like yeah.
It's going to be the whole tariff thing again, you know, last minute. Oh, no, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
That's my Trump impression.
I think Mark Zuckerberg is in his home office right now, in the fetal position, crossing his fingers like this, hoping that it actually does happen. So Instagram Reels really kicks off. That's what I think is going down right now.
That's entirely possible. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it definitely affects the content in the United States. Maybe not so much in Canada, but it's going to be interesting to see definitely the next 72 hours, I guess it is. Right. So,
and the most unlikeliest of bedfellows in Oracle and Walmart joining forces to potentially be the, I'm not even quite sure, to be honest with you, what US overseer means, partner. It's really kind of vague and fuzzy.
Yeah.
Again, this just feels like a whole lot of political grandstanding in advance of an election. So Trump can look like tough on China.
As an influencer, though, just think how important it is to diversify yourself, because if you were just doing TikToks,
I would be pulling my content right now, trying to get as much stuff off my TikTok account as possible, and just crossing my fingers, hoping that they don't ban it off.
Yep. Hey, Ben Miller. No, you don't need to apologize that you're late. It's okay. You're forgiven. You're only
even though I was waiting for you, Ben. I was waiting for you.
So. April's got a comment. Instagram Reels is not there yet. We talked about this last week. I have a whole bunch of issues with how they've mashed it all up into the middle of an Instagram. It doesn't feel like a unique experience at all.
Yeah.
It feels like a slapped on feature, and it's a bit of a disaster to use, to be honest. But that's my opinion.
Yeah, and a lot of people are just taking the content they have on TikTok and like putting it on Reels. Like, there's no
or Twitter
delineation. It just seems like it's the same thing, you know?
Yeah, that's when Reels was first released and I first got my update. Literally, all I saw were TikToks.
It even has a watermark and stuff.
And it's like, thank you, Instagram, for promoting TikTok.
Yeah,
I'm sure Mark Zuckerberg was not pleased about that.
No. Yeah. No, no, not at all.
Have a happy day. So, hey, we've got 12 people on the live now.
Hey,
hi, drop a comment. Let us know that you're here. Love to hear from you. And if you are on YouTube, slap that like, hit that subscribe button, and turn on notifications.
Same thing
for everything.
Yep.
All right. So up next, we've got good old Google.
Yes, good old Google.
So this became something of a crisis, and I'll explain why. So in Google Ads, when you run keyword campaigns, however you structure them, you see all of the search terms that come through for your ad campaigns, right? Mm-hmm. And quite often, even with exact match, Google has said, no, you know what? We're going to make a decision where we think the user's intent is actually beyond the exact match of the term that you've put in there. Often it's wrong, and it can lead to some quite some inaccurate data. And if you're spending, some of our clients spending upwards of $100,000 a month, mm-hmm. that becomes a really big issue. What is that leakage? Where are the search terms? Why can't I see them? And what does insignificance actually and they have never, well, they haven't clarified this. You've got some, it's a little bit of digital marketing drama. You've got some people on Twitter saying, who cares, whatever, but I mean, you're spending $100 a month. That's mm-hmm. one thing. Spending $100,000 a month, you know, is it $2,000 that's potentially wasted? Is it $5,000? Like that adds up very quickly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can see there's some great examples in here of people talking about that, this exact issue. I really don't think this bodes well for transparency. I actually think this is potentially could be a cornerstone of also antitrust, because there's big dollars at play here. Big, huge dollars.
It just seems like it's like a choose your own adventure book. Is it this way? Mm-hmm. Or is it this way? Or is it both? But like, let us know. Like,
yep.
Well, I know Sashida and our traffic team has had several conversations with Google. It's very much like trying to see through a glass of milk, and they're not giving us any. I just made that up too. They're not giving us a whole lot of information, and it really does. It doesn't really reflect well that Google is behaving this way, especially in light of the current climate around data privacy and transparency.
This is probably one of my favorite tweets out of this entire article. But it's with Google taking away search terms, it might take advertisers longer to find things like when rap songs are triggering your keywords. I saw a bank drop $60,000 on 21 Savage's bank account before they caught it. Agency made money. Google made money. Client was left holding the bag.
Yeah.
Oh no.
This kind of thing happens all the time, right? The machine learning and how they're matching and different things. Like, you got to be on top of that at all times. So if you are not, and you are running PPC, even modest amounts, go check those search terms and make sure we check several multiple times per day.
Oh yeah.
April's got what I think must be a sarcastic comment. I'm not sure if I can actually see through that, but April loves talking to Google reps. So I'm taking the sarcasm out of that.
So good.
All right. So diving right in.
Oh, I think we had one more that you wanted to showcase too. This one was the last one, I think.
Well, this actually is a beautiful segue into what it is that we're going to be talking about today.
Yep.
And this is where the doom and gloom portion comes out of it. Every year, Yelp releases an annual report. I believe it's called the State of Business or something like that. 60% of business closures due to the coronavirus pandemic are now permanent.
Yeah.
That's a very sad statistic.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully maybe someday they can come back. But just goes to show you that this is, you know, this is a very real, there you go. So permanent closures, you can see from April, they're at 97,966 in the US. Mm-hmm. And that's only on Yelp, right? I mean, that's not a full data set.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? And I think that, look, with restaurants too, I think they were given a little bit of mercy in terms of the way coronavirus lined up with the summertime. It wasn't necessarily mm-hmm. hitting during the winter months. So people were actually able to kind of utilize their patios and things like that. But now that the Canadian winter is coming and everyone's saying it's going to be a cold one, they say that every year. But this year is apparently supposed to be cold. And I mean, what's going to happen with patios, right? They're not going to have the extra income for the patios. Are people going to be able to go in and eat during a second wave? Like it's up in the air, right? So
well, that's just it. Like, it's one thing to endure like the first couple months, like March, April, mm-hmm. May. But now that we're, you know, unfortunately, you know, case numbers are going up and it looks like we're going into a second wave. Mm-hmm. How do you withstand that without pivoting your whole business structure?
Yeah. Well, and that's a lot of what we're going to be talking about today are these creative pivots and things that businesses can do to pivot quickly and, you know, to hopefully maybe even build a new business. And we got lots of examples and we'll have lots of tips. Even if you don't need to pivot your business, I think that there's a whole new world that this new normal, like we were moving down this road. And it's the same thing. You hear it over and over again that COVID was the accelerant. It just,
yep.
It just compressed everything so rapidly, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a very unfortunate statistic. So we can actually go to maybe that. So there's an RBC report. It's actually really, really well done. There we go. The Small Business Big Pivot. This is an RBC thought leadership. For anybody that's in business, I strongly suggest you take a few minutes and read this. It's actually very, very well done. Talks a lot about how it's affected businesses, but there's an infographic in here that really speaks to how it's psychologically and manifested itself in our population. And this is specifically, obviously, a Canadian report, so very timely, right? Mm-hmm. So, we can each cover one, but the first one is how we work. Fewer offices, less paper, more productivity. We basically went home, I think 4 or 5 days before the Ford government actually mandated it that we shut down.
Yeah.
But this is an interesting stat. I can actually vouch for this. I was actually talking to, I actually saw April yesterday for the first time in 7 months. So that was funny. It's ridiculous, right? You haven't seen these people, but you talk to them every single day.
I know.
Pretty much. Yep. This is an interesting one. 75% of Canadians would prefer to work from home a little or a lot more once restrictions ease. And absolutely, one thing I have noticed with our team, I think what it's done, you know, and I like to think we've got a great culture and teamwork and everything else. But in a lot of ways, I see people being, in fact, more productive due to the flexibility that's there, which is an irony, right?
Yeah. Well, it's just that like you said, like a lot of people, especially younger people, they tend to, you know, do more work in the evenings, especially programmers too. I know programmers are infamous for it, staying up at like 2 a.m. and stuff like that, right? So
yeah, you could do things when inspiration hits as a developer.
Yeah, or creativity. So I definitely see that.
And let's face it, a lot of us have families. So trying to juggle, you know, managing a home, dealing with the stress of the coronavirus and having small children. And then you know, like myself, I love my job. So I want to like maintain the productivity that I want for myself and my team. So it's having the flexibility to work from home really helps because sometimes for myself, instead of late at night, it's better for me to get online very early in the morning before everybody wakes up in the house, right?
Yeah.
And dive in. So
absolutely. Sorry, I covered you up there. It was nice to see you IRL as well, April. Yeah. I also think one thing, and not to get stuck on this, but how we work fewer offices. I think the other part of it is there's a trust factor.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. And the trust factor is, hey, I trust you. You got to go do your thing. Go do your thing.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna, you know, you don't have to ask if you have to go to the doctor. I was actually talking to someone today about that, about our kind of unlimited sick day policy. And it's like the weirdest question I've ever had people ask me in the past was, can I go to the doctor? And I'm like, good Lord.
Like, please go to the doctor.
Don't ask me. I don't have that power, you know? So anyways, not to get stuck on that. Nearly 3 in 10 Canadians are now shopping online for things they normally would have bought in a store. We've got a bunch of great examples of that. I mean,
For sure. Let me see here. Which one do I want to pull up? Do you want to do this one or the real food for real kids?
Well, we can. I mean, you could even look at I want to talk about these, maybe that one a little bit later. I mean, you've got your Instacarts, for example.
Mm-hmm.
My wife has been doing click and collect at theirs since they invented it because she's like, 4 kids? I'm clicking. She was doing it for like 2 years before that.
I'm going to give Nicole a high five because I'm right there with her. It's awesome.
So this leads to the Shopify store stuff that we're going to talk about a little bit later.
Yep.
More binging, more culture, more global. You know, It's interesting watching the NFL. I'm a big fan. How they've done it, you literally, if you watch it on TV, your experience has not changed. They're piping. I don't know if they're piping it into the stadium, but there's crowd noises on plays on TV. So you watch it and you're like, this feels like
normal. Nothing's changed. Yeah.
Yeah. And Netflix results are ridiculous. They're off the charts.
Oh, I bet. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. We're using more data, more bandwidth. There's more hacks. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. More local, more modest, more active. Matt, you like to talk about this quite a bit, and I think this validates that case.
Yeah, right? For sure. I mean, it's a lot of people, you know, that's you're not traveling, you're not doing your commute anymore, right? So when you do travel and you do have time, a lot of people want to stick more to their immediate areas and the more local stores, right? So for example, like where I am right now, I'm still in Kitchener, but I'm more near Huron Road. So maybe instead of like going to a grocery store where it's like really busy, a lot of people in our area are actually going to local farms, and local farms have like kind of opened up their own little kind of market where people can go grab things or like get a subscription box. So I feel like, yeah, like people aren't traveling as frequently, but when they are, they're doing it more locally, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and you know, absolutely. And this is, in a lot of ways, it's the kind of, not to say it this way, but the anti-globalization.
Yeah.
And you know, it's always been a little bit insane to think that we get our apples from Venezuela.
Yeah.
Ontario.
Yeah.
Like, what? Why are we doing this? Apples are like all over the place in Ontario, right? It's the perfect climate for it. Mm-hmm. So, moving right along, this one I think is very much true. And drop a comment if you're feeling this way. 3 out of 4 Canadians say are feeling anxious. They don't feel safe. They're worried. These all lead this. Yeah. And the reason we're talking about this is the psychology of our customers, right? Yeah. Right. And it's this is why I thought this was a really fantastic report when I ran into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the things they were actually, I think I read in the report, is to actually write down how you think your customers are feeling. So that way you can support and
again,
that.
Yeah. And again, finally, the world is coming around to this notion of a persona instead of a demographic. Exactly. We're not statistics, right? We're not. Yep. I always say that about search engine optimization is you're not writing for a search engine. You're writing for the human being that's typing things into the search engine. The search engine is just the pipeline that gets you there. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This one, how we learn, we're going to talk a lot about this. Digital spending is expected to double in the U.S.
Yeah. Right?
Like, and it, you can see it already. There's online classes for everything, including marketerknows.com. Which we're getting ready for a full launch. It's almost there.
Yeah.
And lastly, how we trade. And I think the way they put this, more protectionism. I also, you know, I do believe that we should be a society of builders and manufacturers. Like we need to have our own reliance on our own economy with our own resources. Mm-hmm. That's not protectionist. You're not fighting off other people from entering into a market. But when we lose our capability to manufacture PPE or pharmaceuticals, and it's exactly what happened, right? We couldn't even get face masks.
Yeah.
Right. At one point. So, anyways, not to belabor the entire live on this, but I thought this was a really good way to start what we're talking about.
Absolutely. Here. Yep. Cool. For sure.
So why don't we talk about a few kind of creative pivots? I'll give it over.
Cool.
Pick your favorite. I got my favorite.
Do you want to do? Yeah. Which one's yours?
Take social media seriously. It's not just a nice to have anymore. It's pretty much becoming a primary way that you can kind of connect with your community. And a lot of people think, oh, it's really complex and I don't know how to do it. There's so many free ways too that you can connect with them. Like Facebook groups is a great example. There was one businessman I was researching for the show where they were just a local popcorn food truck. And they just started advertising in Facebook groups in their local community, and their online sales just went right up. And they were doing this really cool thing called like Pop for a Cure. So they were making little bags of popcorn that they would deliver for $5. And that $5 would then go to a local charity. So
for sure.
That's the power of social media. And like,
Yeah.
If you have fun with it and you really know how you're going to talk or connect with your consumers in a valuable, authentic way, you can have a lot of fun with it. There was another brewery too that was doing deliveries and they were wearing Hawaiian shirts. And if you took a selfie with the guy delivering with the Hawaiian shirt, you want a chance to, you know, get a case of beer. So
I want to do a quick shout out to our, we got a couple of live viewers on YouTube. So we're starting to see that channel.
Hey,
joining us for YouTube fam.
YouTube fam, let's go.
Yeah.
That's it. We there. So actually, let's do this. Can you throw up the infographic, Matt?
Yep.
And we're going to, we'll kind of breeze through them a little bit here. Let's give it a little scroll. There we go. So we just kind of jump through each one of these, and then we're going to speak to each one with some examples. And that's Stacey's number one is take social media seriously. The other point that I want to just, I sound like a broken record, but social media is a communications channel. It's not a broadcast medium.
Yeah.
So many times what we will see is businesses treating social media like a broadcast billboard with, you know, fairly uninteresting post updates about themselves.
It's not Russell Albert. It's not like I buy your jewelry, right?
Talk to your audience and talk about your audience and be authentic and be real and talk about the things that we talked about. How are your anxiety levels? Here's a great tip for self-care.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with your product, but get over yourself is really kind of the idea. Loving it. We got 15 people on. Yay. So follow your customers on social and genuinely communicate with them and to them, right?
Yep.
Conquer those fears. Get on video. Get over it. Don't worry about it. If you mess up, not the end of the world. In fact, messing up sometimes works in your favor. Makes you humanize your story.
Yeah, yep. You're not a robot.
We're going to, exactly. Set up a Shopify store. Do it now. Don't be one of those 68% of companies that's resisting these things in order to there's lots of resources. There's a 90-day trial. There's Digital Main Street. There's lots of resources from local chambers of commerce. If you've got questions, ask us. We're happy to help. Like this is not a sales pitch. We're literally happy to help. For professional services, you can try another platform called Kartra. What that allows you to do, there's Teachable and there's tons of others that you can set up. You have no technical knowledge. You don't need it. You can create your content and monetize your professional services. So if you're an accountant, set up one-to-ones, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Tax time is coming. Help those people. They'll do it. For businesses, this is obvious, provide delivery services, but even if it's not obvious for your business, provide a delivery service if you can, right? Mm-hmm. I think that one kind of is very, very much popular.
Yep.
Okay. Number six, let your personality shine, personalize your business, connect with your community, connect with people, let them know who you are as real human beings, as opposed to an overly produced brand.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Even if like the commentary you're getting is negative, by providing taking a moment to actually listen and address and then actually take that information and optimize and try to like improve your current situation, it's going to mean so much to your customers.
Absolutely. Sure. There's the link to Digital Main Street and the grant program and some of the other things they're offering.
Yep.
Create online classes for your paid, offer one-on-one consultations via messaging apps. WhatsApp is great for things like lawyers or, you know, accountants, you know, take that stuff into account. And then the last one is integrate with web conferencing, Zoom, Google Meet, or Facebook Messenger, because Facebook Messenger now has those capabilities, and integrate those into the business offerings. Now we just kind of threw that out.
Yeah.
Rapid fire. And now we've got a whole bunch of examples that we can kind of roll on through.
I think I want to start off with the one example that just kind of came to me while we were kind of discussing this. So throughout the summertime, a lot of businesses, there's actually a lot of small businesses that run summer camps throughout the summertime. And a lot of those businesses are actually hit pretty hard because obviously they can't get people physically together with one another. They have like COVID constraints, right? So yep. What a bunch of gamers actually did was they actually started an esports camp. So this is an esports summer camp that people, now you can choose your game, what you like. So whether it's like League of Legends, they have one here for Fortnite, Valorant. So you actually go through, you pick your course, and it's a virtual summer camp for kids between the ages of 12 to 19. And it's basically like a week long virtual experience where like you have a set schedule from 11 a.m. They go through all the kind of the focuses and things like that, like mental gamer focus, even food and nutrition to some extent. So it's really interesting to see how people are kind of, you know, using these platforms, whether it be Zoom, whether it be, you know, Microsoft Teams, Google Hangouts, etc., and using these to kind of bypass what would be a roadblock for their business, which is exactly what we're talking about, right?
Absolutely. No, that's a fantastic example, right? Yep. Of a great virtual experience. And I think the other thing just on the video game side is I'm actually, for my kids, I'm kind of thankful for games like Fortnite because they've been able to connect with their friends on a regular basis. And I think it was a real sanity saver for those types. So this is a fantastic example. You can do virtual camps, virtual well-being. There's another friend of mine, Christina Hennelly, has Three Tides Wellness. She's doing the same thing. Classes, we're going to talk about a couple of other examples.
Yeah, for sure.
Stacey, do you have an example out of there that really popped out, one of those businesses we had talked about?
Let me see here.
Because I can talk about, while you dig that up, what I'll do is I want to just point out PE with Joe.
I was going to just talk about that. Okay.
You do PE with Joe. It's all over you. You got it.
Actually, this is something that I saw that trended fairly early on when the lockdown happened. And this guy had really smart business model. Basically, he is teaching phys ed to kids or ways to keep them active while they're at home. Because it, like, while gaming and all that is really awesome, one integral piece that a lot of kids get, you know, being at school is that time to run and play and get out there and get some fresh air. And this is a great way to kind of keep the kids active. He was just like doing like online. I think he actually did like live versions of this.
He does lives. So the one other thing about this particular fellow, the Body Coach TV, he's interesting in the sense that he put together all of his workout classes were 100% free, always on YouTube, where typically these trainers are going to try to get you to join their specific class.
And he, it's expensive.
The full classes, right?
Yep.
The interesting thing that he did was PE with Joe, right? Particularly geared towards kids. He does stuff where he gets dressed up in costumes for the little kids. To make it fun for the kids. And I can attest to the fact that during that lockdown, my kids were going, you know, crazy at certain points. They need that. There it is, the 1 minute workout. You can see the thumbnail with him dressed up in a in a goofy costume. But a really great example. He had a business that he was doing it a certain way, but he's doing these HIIT workouts for people, but it's free. Like this is I love this business model. I had heard of him before. And if we go, he had a single day where he gained 400,000 subscribers.
That's insane.
One day. It's on Social Blade, but he had a 285,000 subscriber day and a 400,000 subscriber day. And if you know anything about YouTube and monetization, you start hitting his kind of numbers and you're making good money. And that was his creative pivot, right? It was, I thought, really, really well done. Make it fun. Make it super accessible. Don't gate people down, you know, too much. One last point on this is if you're a smaller business, and we talk about lead generation all the time, right? So get that email, get that contact info. If you're a smaller business and you don't have the volumes, I would suggest ungating a lot of your content.
Yeah.
Get get eyes on it, right? Don't, exactly. If you've got a really small audience, don't limit yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, like, to get it into their hands.
I often see, you know, where people are like, oh, we want to run a contest and we're going to have a landing page, but then someone has to go over here and take a photo. Like, mm-hmm. Don't make the gateway to entry be that complex. You know, keep it simple.
Absolutely.
And you'll see the leads that you want.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yep. And that's why you keep in touch with them, right?
Yeah.
Let's look at Three Babes Bake Shop.
Okay.
So this is interesting. Now, if you look at some of the prices, these are San Francisco prices. April, you can probably attest to this. Since their pecan pie is like $40.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But it's also like gluten-free and stuff. It's San Francisco, different market.
And I bet they're good.
I bet you they look delicious. But if you go over one of the things that they did under classes there, and they did a pie subscription service in the horizontal menu, they've got classes there.
Yep.
So the live apple pie virtual class.
Mm-hmm.
April says that pricing wise, that's how much a pie costs in San Francisco.
Yep.
Oh, there you go. Here we go. The pizza down there costs $30. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh no, the last time I was in San Francisco for TwitchCon, it was Uber was surging. I mean, it was like I had to have a separate complete budget to go from Airbnb to the Moscone Center. It was ridiculous how expensive it is. Yeah. So, but really great idea here. Now, the other kind of fun fact about Three Babes Bakery is the CEO of this particular thing is friends with the Twitch CEO, and she got him to donate $1 million.
Oh my God.
Now, that's a little bit out of like a lot of people saying this is an interesting story.
Wow.
But this is how the other thing, too, I believe they have that I saw on there is food kits, right?
Yeah.
I know that the Cambridge Mill locally here was doing food kits because my wife bought me one for Father's Day. It looks like they've stopped doing it.
I don't see it on here.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe these folks, I'm getting them confused with somebody else. With pivots, the other thing to keep in mind is you're being creative. You build out a new product line. Is don't stop the product line because things are starting to open up. I mean, you can enhance your business on an ongoing level by really productizing the things and the creative moves that you make and not just making them pandemic solutions. Why not make them permanent solutions?
Yeah.
Working
for you. That's a common theme that I was seeing across a lot of businesses that we were looking at before the show, that they always said, you know, because I decided to open a Shopify or do e-commerce, I've opened myself to a whole new market I didn't even know existed.
That's it. That's it. And I think that that's the case for so many businesses that, that like pivoting and being flexible in general is a really great idea. Keeping up with the times is a really great idea, but like having an e-commerce store, I can't imagine a business that couldn't justify doing that today.
Yeah.
Right. You should have those solutions in place. And like we said before, this whole pandemic thing has simply accelerated something that was coming anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, if you think about younger people, my son is 11. In 5 years, when he's 16 and starts to enter a job market, driving, my mind's blowing. Stacey knows what I'm talking about.
Oh,
The little baby that you held is now going to grab keys to a car and drive places.
Jeez.
So it would be great if we were in England.
But these people, this upcoming generation, whatever they name them, they are going to be native to, this is going to be the normal for them. They're going to expect to see these things. Right. So really got to get on that right now. Okay. Let's keep going. We got punchpass.com is pretty interesting here.
Mm-hmm.
So they were class management for yoga studios, Zumba studios, like, I guess athletic facilities in general. When the pandemic hit, they very quickly pivoted into online classes with Zoom webinar integrations. They did this light speed, right?
That's amazing.
Yep. I believe their business has grown because now, so if you have, okay, so here you go. If you're a yoga studio or whatever, you can use PunchPass to extend your business with a full professional looking offering that will integrate with Zoom, so that you know your attendees could potentially, if you have your customers, they can, you know, log in, book a class, book that time, they get the full mm-hmm. So this is a really great example of a business that was doing physical bookings that pivoted and said, we can do the same thing online. Right. So that yeah. open-mindedness to expand the product offering.
Well, it's like you said, it's like one of the points that we made. You got to, like, you know, get comfortable in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, a yeah. lot of people will be like, oh, well, I don't know if I can do that. You know, it's okay in front of like 20 live people. It's the same thing. You just got a camera on you now, like, and yeah. the value you can offer.
For sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
One of my other favorites here, a couple of fan favorites, Canadian Shield PPE.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So these guys are a fantastic success story, business with a heart, and super creative. Sorry, I'm going to get back to stream. Yeah. So these folks started out as Inksmith, which I believe is still around. I think the link is in there, Matt, in the task. Maybe pull up Inksmith.
Yep.
Yep. But basically what they were is it was educational, immersive education solutions for the 21st century, right? So they did lots of STEM stuff, robotics, virtual reality, laser cutters, 3D printers, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're, sorry, not STEM, STEAM, competencies as well. But one of the things that they did was they were very big in the 3D printing community. I'm probably going to slaughter their story because I don't know it exactly. But I do know that one of the things that they said was, hey, we can make face masks for when PPE was short.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of a very cool story about the 3D printing world in general is a pretty tight community of hackers and creators and people who like to make stuff, mm-hmm. right? And cosplayers, I think, as well. That's a really big, because you can print up these things. They mobilized as a unit to create these headbands for the shields. And literally thousands of, the people were all over the country were like putting stuff together. And then Inksmith created the Canadian Shield, which is one, both a great name if you're Canadian and you understand what the Canadian Shield actually is. Giant exactly. rock in the middle of the country. But they pivoted in record time and actually built a really strong business during one of the most difficult times.
Yeah.
They were just open-minded enough to say, hey, we can build this, we can do this, let's rally around and get this thing together, and here they are, right?
For sure.
So a great Canadian success story and just super creative, right? Thinking yeah. like this yeah. was nowhere near their business model, not even right? And I think
it's handy, or it's good to know that they had the technology or the capability to make that pivot in such a way that it made sense for them too.
Well, mm-hmm. I think the one thing is to say, hey, you know, if you look at a business, I think sometimes as business people, we get blinders on, right? This is yeah. the notion of fail fast we hear in startup world is don't be so married to an idea and so mm-hmm. stubborn about the idea that you can't like rip your claws out of it. Sometimes yeah. let it go, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For certain businesses, it may mean closing a physical location and doing a ghost kitchen, which is a nice segue. Whoa,
yeah, exactly.
Look at that. Gold.
That was totally random. I did not mean to do that. But so, yay. Ghost kitchens. Now, this is interesting, right? So a ghost kitchen, for anybody that is maybe not aware, is a kitchen that's solely reliant on food delivery services like Uber Eats or Skip the Dishes. They have only a kitchen. They have no retail storefront. I think it's very interesting to see how these restaurants, I mean, I can't imagine being a restaurant owner. My heart goes out to all of you.
Yeah.
You've got very expensive locations with huge investments put into these locations.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a saying that a 65% utilized restaurant is a bankrupt restaurant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Slim margins, highly competitive, big overheads, big costs. And so this idea of these ghost kitchens are a pivot for a restaurant. This particular fellow had 15 restaurants. Like, can you imagine? Yeah. we're had on
just,
a monthly
it just makes sense. Like going back to the RBC infographic that you had before, they said 43% of Canadians won't go to an arena, a restaurant, a stadium without a vaccine. So a ghost kitchen is a nice natural pivot for them.
Yeah, sure. For sure. And I can, I'm kind of predicting for people, for those folks in the restaurant industry, that there's going to be kind of spiritual awakening about how the restaurant industry works, in that if you've got a restaurant, then sell food kits, productize your sauces and your, all that special stuff, open up a Shopify store, let people buy that stuff, right? Sell the rest.
Yep. Look for valuable partnerships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, where you can bundle your services together and it makes sense.
Yep. The other thing for the restaurant industry is, why not integrate a food truck option into your restaurant option, right? Yeah. And then potentially, I mean, at a certain point, I think the ghost kitchen thing is, I think that there would be room for a higher end restaurant. You want the experience, you go to the restaurant, but sometimes you want to have an at-home experience, right? Like a chef's, Matt, don't you do Chef's Plate or Blue Apron?
Yeah, we do like a Chef's Plate every now and then, yep.
Yeah. So it seems like a natural capability for a restaurant to be able to provide a lower price point, more accessible price point, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to do it at home. And I know that, like I said, the Cambridge Mill did a nice one for Father's Day, and I did it here on the barbecue, and it was great. Comes with instructions and all the extra fun stuff. So this is a diversification of a business in patterns and facets and ways that, you know, if you would have talked to a restaurateur, you know, a year ago and said, hey, what if you just had a kitchen and only did Skip the Dishes and Uber Eats, they'd look at you like you're from Mars, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We're almost at time today. The other cool one that I think is worth talking about, another favorite of mine, is Real Food for Real Kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So really great story out of Toronto.
Talk about being able to like really tap into your core mission. I'll let you explain them, but yeah.
These guys have a fantastic mission in general, which is, and this is always, I think as my kids get older, I'll be more concerned is, you know, the cafeterias at school, when I was a kid, it was like gravy and fries with, you know, cheese. It was like the worst. It was the worst food. Like it was not healthy at all.
I've got a secret for you guys. Don't tell anybody.
Okay.
My high school actually had mystery meat.
Whoa.
True story.
Like true spam?
I don't know. We'd go into the calf lineup and they'd be like, would you like some mystery meat? And I'm like,
oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. I mean, that's just like spin the bottle. It's like exciting. Yeah,
oh man.
Yeah, Meriton High School, St. Catharines. What?
Yeah. Well, that's back in the, so we're you know, although Stacy will say how old she is, I'm significantly older than Stacy. Children of the 70s, you know, styrofoam containers at McDonald's, mystery meat, street meat was really probably a lot. Like it's a lot better now than it probably was then. So anyways, Real Food for Real Kids was an alternative for healthy foods for school catering, to provide it to the cafeterias and stuff like that. Now, obviously, pandemic hits, schools closed, your business is shattered, like immediately you're done. Well, they pivoted very quickly into delivering kid approved meals to help you at home. And this was a big change for their business, right? Which has ultimately worked out so well for them. It's basically opened up what is effectively a new business, right? Yeah. It's not the same business anymore. The thing I really love about what these folks do is that whole thing about the anxiety from the RBC Thought Leadership Report, this is literally hitting so many positive points with their brand. Number one, you look at it, they're having fun. It's positive. It's upbeat, right? Mm-hmm. Reducing people's anxiety, right? Reducing the anxiety because you can see their kid-approved meals help you at home. I know this was an issue. We were lucky, but I know that quite a few families were having just real trouble keeping their kids, you know, on a diet plan that wouldn't get stale because now they're eating at home, yeah. all the time. And it would be like, we need something different. I need to mix it up, right?
Yeah.
So they really do hit into a lot of those anxieties and the issues that people were having. Another one is mom and dad are working at home. Mom and dad have meetings. Mm-hmm. When are mom and dad going to make lunch? Right? How does that all work out? You know, and, you know, when we look at that whole dynamic range of that particular image and you look at real food, real kids, I really think that they're a standout example of looking at those anxiety points and really kind of both in messaging and product and delivery is really kind of delivering through. And that's yeah. a big part of their success.
I, you know, one thing that I really love it or admire about what they've accomplished too, is they didn't just pivot to pivot for pivot's sake, if that yep. makes sense. Like they took a step back. They looked at, okay, what are we trying to achieve here? What's our mission? What's the end game here? Mm-hmm. And they just realigned to support that. So it wasn't that, you know, they lost what they were trying to achieve. It's just that they had to kind of realign on how they were going to deliver that.
For sure.
That's right. And keep in mind, like, the, you know, in terms of businesses, and I think for all of these businesses that have made it through, especially the ones in the sectors hardest hit, doing this under massive amounts of stress and anxiety, because yeah. you wake up one day and your business and your livelihood are effectively stopped, right?
Yeah.
Like I said, we're super lucky because that wasn't the case for us. But if I had a restaurant and the day after Doug Ford said it's shut down, well, what, you know, what if, you know, and a lot of businesses, you know, are running, fairly thin margins, don't have big war chests, and that becomes a big problem. So kudos to all those people that have been able to pivot during, and it's under extraordinary stress and circumstances yeah. like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so let's just run over one last time. We'll pull up the infographic and we'll just run down what we think can, how these, there's product pivots, but then these are kind of less pivots and just more tactics that you can use, right? Mm-hmm. That will help your business. And one, pleading with you, please take social media seriously. Do not mm-hmm. make it an afterthought.
Yep.
It's singly the most powerful communications tool, in my opinion, in the history of humanity. And if you take advantage of it, you can really, really benefit yourself, right?
For yeah. sure.
And make sure when you speak to people, you're being authentic. Like, don't be overpolished. A lot of people overthink the way they're going to respond back to customers. It's just be yourself
mm-hmm.
as
mm-hmm.
if they're right in front of you and you're answering a question.
Mm-hmm. For sure. For sure. Be genuine and communicate with them. Don't talk at them. Don't use caps. Like, don't, you know what? And comment with your customers. Comment, talk to them. If they yeah. comment, talk back. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And always, I think one thing with your posts and content on social, try to elicit a question to get a response.
Mm-hmm.
Don't use a neutral sentiment that really, like, if I look at it and I just say, oh, okay. There's no reason for me to engage. Ask a question, make a comment, ask somebody for their hot take, ask for their opinion. How are you feeling today? Right?
Yeah.
Like, one of the most powerful things, and you'll see a lot of, you know, especially influencers will do this, is simply just a simple post like, how are you feeling today?
Mm-hmm.
And it'll get massive amounts of engagement, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Get on camera. You've mm-hmm. got the camera in your hand. The massive supercomputer in your hand can shoot better quality video than professionals were able to do 6 years ago.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You spent tens of hundreds of thousands of dollars on a camera 6 years ago, and these things can come pretty damn close to what those things can produce. Okay? Don't be afraid to go online. Get that Shopify store, Kartra, Teachable, whatever platform you want to use to get your business mm-hmm. online and processing credit card transactions. Mm-hmm. It'll open things up. Provide the delivery service. I have a story that I've probably told a dozen times, but I had a Japan Camera Center in the worst days of downtown Kitchener in the 90s. Couldn't get people to go into Market Square, so I got one of those magnetic signs for the side of my car, slapped it on, provided delivery service. We would pick up and deliver people's film to and from their home for free. Right?
Yep.
Do that now. Like, it doesn't take much to do. Personalize your brand, your business, come forward, like introduce who you are, you know, what it is that you stand for. Like Matt keeps talking about is this big community aspect and businesses, people want to support local businesses. If they know who you are, then they're gonna connect with you.
Yep.
Create your online classes. Like if you're an accountant, why not create a class on tax preparation, right? How to prepare your own taxes at home. What do you need to know? And then out of that, maybe you can get a consulting hour or something like that from your customers. And using messaging apps and embracing messaging apps as one-to-one communications tools like WhatsApp is a great one because it's end-to-end encrypted and quite safe. And then lastly, integrate if you can with your web conferencing for larger events and one-to-many events, whether it's a webinar or a web conference, one or the other. There you go. All right. So what's everybody up to this weekend? It's going to be a chilly one.
Yeah, it is going to be chilly. Sace, what are you up to?
Well, I ordered Skip the Dishes for Sophie and I tonight.
Ooh, fancy.
Very nice.
That's nice.
Other than that, probably just chilling like a villain.
You're probably the only one of the few people. I can't remember. One of my friends on social was like, to all the, what is it, scarf wearing, sweater wearing, latte drinking, and it's just like all about summer. It was far more colorful, the language, than I'm
sure.
Yeah, I could skip a pumpkin spice latte for the rest of my life. I could care less, personally. Sorry.
How dare you?
Pumpkin spice latte. Pumpkin spice latte. Yeah, it's getting chilly. Only Stacy loves that.
I love the cold. I was telling everybody in the office the other day when we had our first frost that it was the most wonderful day of the year.
Unbelievable. Frost in September and one person in all of Canada is happy. No, there's a contingent of you strange people out there. I don't understand you. I understand one of my buddies, Eddie, up north. He's got Sugar Dogs dog sledding company. If you're up for a very good time, get a hold of Sugar Dogs. They're awesome in the winter. But he's a winter guy. He's a northerner, true northerner.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I know that Sachita looks at me like I have three heads.
I don't blame her. I mean, for Sachita, it's like, you know, 20 degrees a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. It was like cold for her coming from India. So
yeah, she's used to it now, I'm sure.
I don't. Dude, I'm 47. I've lived here my whole life. I'm not used to it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Gross winter. It's not winter. I don't mind it so much. It's like the February, March. That's when I start to get a little batty. Got to get out.
Yeah.
Hopefully things will be opened up by then. Can go somewhere warm.
For sure.
I think you can be by a fire, hot chocolate.
Oh.
Sunset at 4 o'clock in
go
the
away,
afternoon.
Go away, Stacy. I don't want to hear it. Get out of here.
Is she just saying, no, I am not used to it. Yeah.
She never will be.
Sashita, trust me.
For Sashita last winter, she would go into the meeting room and she put it up to 80.
Yep.
Oh, poor girl.
I vote for that. All right, everybody. Well, you have a great weekend, and we will see you next week on Live at the Hive, episode 149.
See you guys.
Bye.